Okay, we're on page 940. We're on Pasuk Vav. Okay, last time we were learning, a week ago, whatever, that Moshe Rabbeinu admonished the Jews at the end of his life, and Rashi says that he shouldn't keep admonishing them after he did a lot of good for the Jewish people. And if now, when is he going to do it? The Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah into 70 languages. We discussed why Moshe Rabbeinu translated Torah in 70 languages, to break the barrier between Hebrew and all languages when it comes to Torah, that you could bring Torah into all 70 languages. Now, one more thing, just before we go further. When Moshe Rabbeinu admonished the Jews, as we'll soon see, he did it all with a remez, hinting. He never told the Jews you worshipped the golden calf. He never told the Jews you did complained about this and that and that. Moshe Rabbeinu hinted to it, which teaches us a very important lesson in admonishing people. If you have to admonish a person, you should do it hinting. In other words, with love, rather than fear and throwing stones and so on and so forth. And they tell a famous story. When we were in second grade, I think we read it in our readers, in a Goyish story, there was a debate between the wind and the sun. The S-U-N, the sun in the sky. Who is stronger? Is the wind stronger or is the sun stronger? So they said, we're going to have a test. We'll see who's stronger. And there was somebody traveling on the road. So the wind says, what was the deal? Whoever can get that guy's cloak, the coat off of him, they're the winner. So the wind went first, and the wind started blowing. And the more the wind blew, the more the guy held on to his coat. The wind blew stronger, the more the guy held on to the coat. As strong as the wind blew, the guy still held on to his coat. Finally, the wind gave up. So it was the sun's turn to see who could do it. The sun came out, started shining, making it warm, warmer, 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 hot. The guy got so hot, he took off his coat. So the sun won the contest. And this is what the Chazal tells. When Moshe Rabbeinu is admonishing the people, you could do it in two ways. You could either curse them and scream at them and yell at them and tell them how bad they are. That's one way of doing it. But the Torah teaches us, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Rebbe and a Chassid, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the way you admonish people is not by yelling and screaming at them. You do it beremez, with hinting. He didn't say it clear. He didn't yell at them. He told them basically where it went here and where and there. He didn't say, what he meant to say is, we sinned in this place and you sinned in this place. But he didn't say it. He said, we were here and we were there, that the Jews themselves should understand what wrong they did. Okay, so now we're up to Pasuk Vav.
So in all these places, Jews sin?
Yeah. Are you surprised? Yeah, it's over 40 years. Okay, so Pasuk Vav, no? Hashem Elokeinu Dibur Eleinu B'Chayrev Leimer. Moshe Rabbeinu says when he's what's wrong? Hello, what's wrong? Pasuk Vav. Hashem Elokeinu Dibur Eleinu B'Chayrev Leimer. Hashem spoke to us in Chayrev. Chayrev happens to be Har Sinai. Rav Lochem Shevis Be'er Hazeh. It's enough for you to sit in this place. In other words, the Jews were by Har Sinai after Matan Torah, and it got to a point that Hashem said, okay, let's go, you know, move on. So Rashi says, the simple meaning of the word is kipshute, that you're here long enough, you know, it's time to move on. But then Rashi brings down that, what does it mean, Rav Lochem? Rav Lochem doesn't mean time-wise, but Rav Lochem means you got an abundance. You got a lot in this place. You got the Mishkan and Menorah and Kelim. You received the Torah. You appointed the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, the court. You got a Rav Lochem Shevis. You got a lot happening to you for your benefit. Behar Hazeh, this mountain. Why is Har Sinai called Chayrev? So the Gemara says a few things. Chayrev comes in the word Chorav, to destroy. that the Matan Torah destroyed the evil that the Jews possessed until then. Okay, that's what it says. It made the chorav. It destroyed. Because the Medrash says, and the Zohar says, that when Matan Torah happened, Paskazu Hamasam, the impurity that the Jews had from the Eitz Hadas, from the sin of Adam and Chava, went away. They got it back after the Yegel, but at that time it went away. Okay, so Hashem says to them like this, Penu esulachem, turn yourselves, Uvayu haro ha-meirei v'kol shcheinov, I want you to come to the mountain of Amore and all its neighbors. And our sages tell us who are the neighbors. Like Rashi says, Amein Moyav Harseir. You know, just go in all these places. Bahor Ubashvela in the mountains and in the low place, Uvanegev in the south, Uvachayfayam in the sea coast, Eretz Aknani Valvonin, the land of Canaan and Avon, this is where the Jews were heading to. Adanor Agodol Nahar Peros, until the big river called Nahar Peros. And this is the Euphrates River. Rashi says, even though there are other rivers bigger and longer and wider than the Euphrates River, but why is it called the Great River? Because it borders the land of Eretz Yisrael. And like Rashi says, the Moshul, that Eved Melech Melech, if you're a servant of the king, they would call you the king also, because you're next to the king. So because the Euphrates River is next to Eretz Yisrael, so it's called Nahar Godol, Nahar Pros, even though at the beginning of Chumash, by the way, it was the fourth river. Huh? At the beginning of Chumash, when Hashem said there were four rivers coming out from Eden, here, there were four rivers, one was Pishon, one was Gichain, the third one was Chideko, the fourth river was the Euphrates. What's unique about the Euphrates, this is not relevant here though, it says in the Medrash that when Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf happened, you know, the Jews went through the sea, every sea in the world split. Kriyas Yamsuf, it says in the Medrash, was not only the Yamsuf where the Jews went. At that time, it says, you're drinking a... Okay?
I have a cold.
Huh? It says, you're drinking a cup of water, the water split. Kol, it says in the Medrash, except one river, Nahar Pros. This Euphrates River didn't split. The Pros, it's in English called Euphrates River. Nahar Pros. I know it's in French, I don't know. But
why
didn't, good question, yeah. It's good question. Why didn't, yeah? Because it says in the Haftarah of Shvi, of Achron Shel Pesach, that Mashiach is going to split, Vihikas and Necholim L'Shiva, it's going to split into seven. Mashiach, it says, is going to split Nahar Pros. So it says in the Tanakh, in Yeshaya, when we read the Haftarah, V'hiko l'shiv in the Cholim. Mashiach is going to hit the river and it's going to split into seven. Yeah? Anyway, so it says in the Medrash that Mashiach is going to split the Euphrates River for the Jews. So because Mashiach is going to split it, Hashem saved the splitting of the Euphrates until the coming of Mashiach. Why is it called here, Anohar Agodol Nahar Pros? It's not the biggest river. Because this is associated with the Eretz Yisrael, which is great, so it's called Nahar Agodol Nahar Pros. Okay, Rei Nasati Lefneichem Es Haaretz, look, Hashem says, I'm giving you the land. Bayu Urashu Es Haaretz, come and inherit the land. Asher Nishba, by the way, this is before the Meraglim came. This is what Hashem was supposed to be. Hashem says, come, look, and come and you see that I'm going to destroy it. Now the Aruch Chaim asks an interesting question over here. Re'ei nosati lefnechem in Hebrew is Lashon Yochid, singular. Re'ei, see, you're singular. Otherwise it'd say Re'u. Right? Re'ei is singular. Then it says, Nosati lefnechem. So, in the same three words apart, it starts singular and goes plural. It should either say, Ru'u nosati lefnechem esa'aretz, or Re'ei nosati lefanecha esa'aretz. Right? So why is singular and plural in the same pasuk? So he says like this, because when you see it, every person sees the same thing. But when it speaks about inheriting, every person inherits a different part. So he says like this, Re'ei nosati lefnechem esa'aretz, see means everybody sees the same thing. But Be'u lefnechem esa'aretz, when you're talking about the inheritance, lefnechem for you, so then every Jew is different. Again, you should inherit the land. Are you okay?
I have a cold.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Shenishba Hashem laviseichem, that Hashem swore to your forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, laseis lehem, to give to them, ulazarim acharei. Now this is an interesting thing. Number one, the Mefarshim explain, why does it say, when it says laviseichem, yeah, in Chumash, many times, in Shema we say, Aretz Hashenishba laviseichem, laseis lehem, kimei Hashemayim al Aretz, right? In Shema. It doesn't say laviseichem Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov. In the Shema, what do we say? Yeah, it's later on in Parshas Vayechan. I mean Ekev in Vayim Shemaya. Yeah, it says. Leman Yirbu Yimeichem V'mei V'neichem. Alo Adam Asher Nishba Hashem Laviseichem. Lo Seis Lahem. To your forefathers. It doesn't say Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov. Why over here is the Torah saying Laviseichem LaAvraham Yitzchok and Yaakov? Why does it have to say it? We know Laviseichem is Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov. So they answer like this. Number one, Hashem swore to Avraham and to Yitzchok and to Yaakov. He swore three times. And secondly, in the merit of Avraham itself would be enough, in the merit of Yitzchok would be enough, and in the merit of Yaakov would be enough. Okay? But the Torah is saying that, look, I'm giving you the land that I swore. What does it mean I swore? What's interesting, a shvua, what's the purpose of an oath? We learned in the past, what you swear, okay, or to say another thing. Yeah, it was called the marriage vows. It's a goyish term, but the marriage vows. Or you make a covenant, okay, or David HaMelech, Asher Nishbaynu Shneinu, David and Yonasan. Yeah, made this shvua between them. What's the purpose of a shvua? The purpose of a shvua is, like this, you know, we could be friends. But if something comes up, that's it, it's over. When you make a covenant, you make a shvua, it means that even if there's a reason to say it shouldn't happen, it still stays. You know, the shvua is like a bris, like a covenant that even if it's not going to work, you make it work anyway. Because it's above any logic or any argument or anything like this. Hashem says to the Jewish people, even though you complained about not going into the land, Jews complain, yeah? They don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. So technically, Hashem could have said, okay. You know, in Yiddish they say, Willst nicht, darf man nicht. You don't want, we don't need. You don't want to go into the land, no problem. I won't take you into the land. The pasuk is saying, whether you like it or not, Hashem has to take you in there. Because Nishba Hashem laviseichem, Hashem swore to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov that he's going to give the land to their children. And by the way, this explains another in modern day world. The land of Eretz Yisrael does not belong to any individual Jew. It's the land Hashem gave to the nation, Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And therefore, halachically, the Rebbe said this countless times, halachically, nobody has any right to give back the land. It's not yours to give back. Something is yours, you can give back. Something that belongs to a nation, who are you to give back something that belongs to somebody else? You can't give back. A prime minister is not all the Yidden. He has no right, halachically, or any minister, whatever. Nobody has a right to give back land that doesn't belong. I can't give back your things to somebody.
But they have chosen him.
Every Jew from all generations chosen to be the leader.
All generations?
Nishba Hashem Laviseichem, Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov. Torah, Eretz Yisrael was given to the Jews from the beginning, from Avraham Avinu. Hashem gave birth pain of son, right? I'm giving a Torah, it says Ace. Yaakov Avinu said, by the dream, Hashem says, I'm giving it to you and to your children.
So we can never give it away because they're another Ram. Duh.
Yeah, that's the point. Nobody has a right to give back out your soul.
But they're another Ram.
So, but you don't have their permission.
But if somebody has a piece of land and he dies,
so the children get a Beyerusha.
Okay.
So Eretz Yisrael belongs to every single Jew.
Okay.
Every Jew in the world agrees to give back.
Well,
and not only that, it belongs to the nation as a nation, not as an individual. Yochid can't give back a tzibur.
But we choose a melech, I mean not a melech, a prime minister or whatever. So
that doesn't have a din of bailus of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have bailus over a Jew either.
You didn't choose the prime minister.
I see, but regardless, they have.
No, they have no right. It's not their bailus. They don't have the ability. And that's why it says Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, because each one, we find in Chumash, Hashem gave each one the land. Each one was promised the land. What?
So what does that mean as far as like each individual Jew? Does it mean that each part of Israel belongs specifically to every person, or how does that work?
Every part of Eretz Yisrael belongs to every Jew.
Okay.
Even though Shevet Reuven got this part, and Levi didn't get, and Shimon, all the tribes. But there's an interesting halacha of the difference between partnership and inheritance. If two people own land, halachically, there's an argument in the Rishonim, it's between Rashi and Tesis and the Rosh and the Tur. I mean, there's a lot in the Yeshiva we learned about all this stuff. If two people own land, does it mean each one has 50-50? Partnership.
Right, the seven lands.
Yeah. Two people own a building. Yeah? Two people own a building. Does it mean I own 50% of the building and you own 50% of the building? Or does it mean every inch of the building is owned by both? Understand? What's the difference? I'll tell you a halachic difference. Very simple halachic difference. If we're neighbors, yeah? Neighbors. And between our properties, we put up a wall. An 8-foot wall. Yeah? And the wall is, let's say, a foot wide. Okay? We both paid for the wall. We both own the wall. Correct? Yeah, partners. Neighbors. Now, what happens if one partner wants to make half of the wall higher and the other one doesn't want? Can he make his half of the wall bigger or not?
No.
Now, if it's 50-50, then my half is mine, and your half is yours, and my half, I could do whatever I want. So I can't make the whole wall bigger, because half of it's yours, but in a half a foot, that's my side, I could do whatever I want, that's my half. Right? Or, no, you can't, because every part of the wall is mine. See, even your side of the wall is also half mine. So every inch that you're making, you can't make the wall. That's an argument between the Rosh and the Tur. If one partner, one shutef, can make the wall higher. That's not what I'm bringing up. So by shutfim, there's an argument in halacha, if it's 50-50 or each inch is both. By Yerusha, the Rishonim write an interesting concept. Let's say there's a father who dies and there's five children inheriting, yeah? So obviously each child gets a fifth. Yeah? But halacha says it's not that each one gets a fifth. According to halacha, if you Yerusha inheritance, each one gets all of it. Five people can't have all of it, so you divide it five ways. But in din, every child owns all of the land. So when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, to answer your question, Eretz Yisrael, which is inheritance, inherit the land, every Jew has every inch of Eretz Yisrael belongs to every single Jew. In addition to that, when Avraham Avinu bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah for Abba Meir Shekel Kesef, okay, there's a Sefer Paneach Rosa that says, why did he pay so much money for Ma'aras HaMachpelah? So we learned earlier in Vayikra that a base kor is redeemed for 50 shekel. A base kor is a measurement of land. A base kor is an eighth of 600,000 square feet. When Avraham Avinu bought for Abba Meir Shekel Kesef, in the cheshbon of redeeming a base kor land, so Avraham Avinu paid for 600,000 square amas in Eretz Yisrael. A cubit by a cubit is a foot and a half, 2 feet. So Avraham Avinu, when he bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah, it says in that sefer, he actually bought for every single cash deal. He bought for 600,000 Jews. No, he bought for every single Jew an amma by an amma in Eretz Yisrael. So the Eretz Yisrael is Yerusha, and therefore nobody can give it away. And Hashem did it in a way that he swore. Why did Hashem swear? Why did Hashem need to swear? Give it. You don't want to give it. Don't give. Why is he swearing? Because Hashem, so to speak, is forcing himself by swearing that even if the Jews misbehave, he's going to have to give it to them. That's why he made a shvuah. Why did Hashem swear? Me and you have to swear, because now we're not going to do it. Hashem, he's the boss. He wants to do it, he'll do it. He doesn't want to do it, he's not going to do it anyway. Why is he swearing? Hashem is forcing himself to do it even though the Jews might not be worthy of it. So the Jews, Hashem is saying to the Moshe Rabbeinu, is repeating from Hashem, yeah? I'm giving you the land. Yeah, they're all going to run away. And then I said to Moshe Rabbeinu, says, I said to the Jews like this. Okay? What does Lamer mean, by the way, over here, Lamer? Lamer means only to repeat it. So Rashi says, because Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating what Hashem told him to say. I cannot carry the burden anymore. Okay? I cannot carry you alone. So Rashi asks in the Medrash an interesting question. Moshe Rabbeinu took the Jews out of Egypt. He says, "Efshir shloya Moshe yochel adonis." So Moshe Rabbeinu can't judge the people. He's speaking now. Moshe Rabbeinu said it's too much to judge the Jews. I need helpers. Like Yisrael advised him to pick 70 elders. He said, "A man." Rashi says, "Adam that took him out of Mitzrayim, split the sea, brought the man, brought him the slav. He couldn't judge it. He couldn't judge them." So Rashi says like this, but Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews, it's not that he can't physically judge the Jews, he could physically judge the Jews. But Hashem made you so great. He says, do you know what it means to judge very great people? It's so difficult because if I make a mistake, I'm going to have to be liable for it. Because it's such holy people. When I judge people, it's a tremendous responsibility. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't take that responsibility. He says, if I'm going to kill somebody wrongly, if I'm going to take money from one of the Galilean Sanhedrin, you know, wrongly, he says, I'm going to be, I can't do it. I can't be responsible for that. So he says like this, Hashem Elokeichem here, Bethlehem, this is why he says, I can't do it. Hashem Elokeichem multiplied you. And by the way, it doesn't only mean here, but in numbers. Not only in quantity, but in quality. Hashem made the Jews great. And you're going to be like the stars of the heaven. Okay? So the question is, Rashi and Ibn Ezra, everybody asked the question, the Jews were only 600,000 Jews. There's more stars than that. What do you mean you're like the Keichri HaShemayim? So Rashi says, it means that just like the permanence of the stars in the sky, just like they're permanent, they'll never be destroyed, you're also going to be permanent. The Ibn Ezra says it's an exaggeration. It's a guzma. We find the Torah speaks a guzma. The Gemara says in Herius that we find the Torah speaks in Lashon Havoi. Havoi means exaggerations. But by the Meraglim, they said, we found cities fortified out of Shemayim. Mitzudas by Shemayim. They didn't have walls up to the sky. It can't be. It's an exaggeration. So the Ibn Ezra says, over here is also an exaggeration. What does it mean, though, the way Rashi learns that it's like the stars in the sky? What does that mean? So Rashi says, simply it means, just like kayamim la'elam kechamo lo'kevona o'vekechovim. We mentioned not too long ago, I think it was in this class, in fact, that there, from the beginning of creation, there's what's called kayamim b'min and kayamim b'ish. That's the lashon in Chazal. Kayamim b'min means people are here from the beginning of time. Yeah? But it's not the same person. It's not the same animal. Right? It's the min, the species of people exists from the beginning of time. The species of animals exists in the beginning of time. Then you have what's called kayamim b'ish. The thing itself is existing. The stars, the sun, the moon. That didn't reproduce itself. It's the same sun from the beginning of creation. It's here today. But Hashem's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews, that you are like the Keichve HaShemayim, that just like the sun and the moon exist, so do you. Too cold.
I thought
what?
Rashi
was angry.
No, I'm sorry. Moshe Rabbeinu was angry with the Jews. Why they didn't choose him to judge every single person rather than having judges?
No.
Yitro told him, but he was complaining, Moshe Rabbeinu, to Jews. I was, instead of talking to me directly, so I have a direct connection to Hashem to answer your question.
Moshe Rabbeinu said that about why did the Jews say to him to speak the Baaseres HaDibros instead of Hashem directly. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a problem. Yisro gave him the Eitzah. Yisro gave him an Eitzah. In fact, there's a Yiddish expression that rhymes, and now you can translate into English, it also rhymes. A guest of Favila Zeta Famile. A guest of a while, Zeta Famile. A guest for a while sees a mile. It means when you have a guest, even though they're there a little bit, they can see better, they get an overall picture better than somebody who's there the whole time. Yesterday he came and he saw what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing, so he said, it's too much for you. Moshe Rabbeinu never had a problem with that. So in fact, over here, Moshe Rabbeinu says clearly, "Le'uchal avad yisei seschem." I cannot carry you myself. I can't. Okay, Hashem alakei avay seichem, the God of your forefathers, Yosef aleichem kochem elef pa'amim, should add 1,000 times to yourself. V'yivarech eschem, and he should bless you, kasher dibra lachem, like he spoke to you. What does this mean? So Rashi says, it says already, Yosef aleichem kochem elef pa'amim, that Hashem should add 1,000 times. Why does he say, V'yivarech eschem kasher dibra lachem? So he says like this, Moshe Rabbeinu said, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jews said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says, only 1,000 times. Why are you limiting the bracha? Why only 1,000 times? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, Hashem promised you It's that you're not going to be able to count the Jews. Right? You're not going to be able to count them. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Yesev aleichem kochem elef pa'amim. That's my bracha that I'm giving you. God is going to give you the bracha that he gave Avram Avinu. That is going to be bligvul, unlimited. And obviously Chazal say, that doesn't mean in quantity, it means in quality. Because every Jew is olamale. Every Jew is a complete world. Every Jew is a full world. So therefore he's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Hashem, you're like the stars that exist all over. It's a very interesting Hayom Yom. Hayom Yom, the Rebbe writes that when you travel by ship in the olden times, what guided them? Thank you. Huh? Yeah, but the Rebbe writes very in a Yom Yom like this. The Jewish people are compared to stars twinkling in the high heavens. By their light, even he who walks in the darkness of night shall not blunder. You're not going to get lost. Every Jewish man or woman possesses enough moral and spiritual strength to influence friends and acquaintances and bring them into the light. What does it mean? So the Rebbe is saying in a Yom Yom, what does it mean when the Pasuk says the Jews are likened to the stars? Just like the stars, make sure you don't get lost. That's how they used to navigate in the olden days with the stars. He says, just like stars, don't make sure you don't get lost. Every Jew has the ability to make sure other people don't get lost. They're light unto the nations, the Pasuk says, right? That means a Jew has an ability to be a star that shines. That's what you always say about it. You'll be a star, a star, a star. What's the greatness of a star? A star is that it guides people that are lost. And that's the power of every Jew, the Pasuk says.
That's a real star, not a movie
star. Huh? The answer to foolish question is silence.
Okay. Echa esa levadi. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says like this. How can I carry you guys alone? Targachem umasechem rivchem. He says to me, your burdens, your quarrels, your consciousness. Rashi says like this, this is what the Jews used to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu left home late to go to his Bezdin, whatever. The Jews said, oh, what do you think he's doing at home? He's speaking Lashon Hara with his wife about the Jews. He left early. The people said, oh, he got into a fight with his wife, so he ran away from home. Whatever he did, no, this is Rashi says. Here. Tarchachem, Rashi is, oh, yeah, Amreyes Baldina Neter Bedin. Oh, no, that was Masachem. Torchachem is something else. What did the Jews would make Moshe Rabbeinu crazy? A guy won a court case after Moshe Rabbeinu made a ruling. A guy would just come, no, I have witnesses to prove differently. Even though he didn't have. He just to make Moshe Rabbeinu crazy. Masachem, your burdens. He said, Hik the Moshe Lot says, if Moshe went out of his house early, Amrum, Maro ben Amrum Lotzeis. Why is ben Amrum, Moshe ben leaving early? Shemay neshofui b'teich basic. Maybe he's not having a good marriage. He had to get out. Icha Lotzeis. He went home out of the house late. Amrum, Maro ben Amrum Shalei Lotzeis. Why do you think he didn't go? Matam saved him. Yeshiv v'yayetz aleichem eitzis rois. He's thinking bad things about you. So he's home meditating about bad of the Jews. He left early. He got into a fight with his wife. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't take these Jews. Whatever I do is no good. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first pulpit rabbi. He says, Tarchachem is like Rashi says, they just made him crazy with them. And Masachem, And Rivchem is simply the fights that the Jewish people used to have. So therefore he said, like, I can't handle this myself. Havalochem, bring for yourself. Okay. Havalochem anoshim chachamim unavayim v'yedun v'shivtechem. So what I will need you to do, bring for yourself, bring me distinguished men who are wise, understanding, the Yiduim, and well known to your tribes, v'asimim b'rasheichem, and I will put them in charge of you. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what Rashi explains, there are other mefashim learn differently, but Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, listen, why don't you pick guys that know you guys? You know, I don't live amongst you. Moshe Rabbeinu lived alone. Pick a guy that lives amongst you, he knows you, and he understands you guys better, he'll take care of you much better. And he says, and this is another remarkable statement that the Chazal tell us, V'asimim b'rasheichem, at the end of Yud Gimel, literally means, I'll appoint them as your heads. The Medrash says, what is V'asimim b'rasheichem? A simem with a shin is asham, sin. Va'ashimeichem b'rasheichem, when the Jews sinned, it's the leader's fault. When the va'ashimeim, not simem, simem is I'll put them in your heads. Va'ashimeim, when the Jews sin, b'rasheichem, I'm blaming the heads. Why? Because they're responsible to teach the people to make sure they don't do anything wrong. And if the people do things wrong, it's the fault of the heads. That's whose fault it is. It's a very important lesson, by the way. Not only heads, you know, there are different levels of heads. You have heads of countries, have cities, have neighborhoods, head of communities, head of families. And then every Jew in himself is the head of himself. His head is in charge of him, the Rosh, you know, he's the head of himself. If a Jew does something wrong, the fault is in the head. Because the mind is supposed to control the heart. It's upside down. The mind is supposed to control the heart. Moach shalat al alev, the mind is supposed to control the heart. If you allow your heart, I mean your taivis, your desires, your wants, to control you, then it's your head's fault, because the head is supposed to be taking control.
The problem is not the man
hitting. Huh?
The problem is not the man hitting or the rabbi, the problem is the individual.
No, also.
Obviously also, either or. I mean, if you have Bechira.
There's heads of countries, there's heads of the Jewish people. There's a head of the Shvatim. Yeah? There's the head, sorry, Allah from Sari Meir, is that every person on that level is a head. A person who's the head of the family is responsible for the family. A person who's the head over themselves is responsible for himself. When the head has to control the rest of the body, that's what it means.
Don't listen. I mean, the king says that people don't listen. Then
whose fault is it? If everybody does bad on the test, whose fault is it? The student or the teachers?
It's never everybody.
Oh, you better want to believe it. You better believe it. If everybody does bad, whose fault is it?
Teacher.
It's the teacher's fault.
Everybody, but in a country, everybody does wrong.
Whose fault is it?
It doesn't happen like that in reality.
But the Torah says not like that. The Torah says Vasimim b'rasheichem. This pasuk is where Chazal learned this out from. Vasim, don't read it. Vasimim, read it. Vashimim, osham. But our sheikhim is the fault of the heads of the Jews. That's what Chazal tells. So the Gemara says. It's the person's fault. If the head can't control the rest of the body, it's the head's fault.
That's where an individual
And the same thing, they're the heads of the community, the heads of the neighborhood, the heads of the family, the heads of the state, the, whatever. They're supposed to be the ones teaching, controlling. That's what a person needs to do. We said many times, the word melech, king, mem lamed chof, stands for moach, lev, and kovid. Moach is the head, lev is the heart, kovid is the liver, which represents the lower parts of the body. What is a king? When the moach is first, and then the lev, and then the kovid. If you allow the heart to go before the head, then you're what's called a lemach. Lemach is the same, but lamed mem chof. When the lev is before the moach, and then the chof, so you, then you're in a lemachul, means like a nebuch, you know, a nebuch. So a melech is moach, lev, and kovid. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says a phenomenal four words. Ki ha-meyach shalat al ha-lev b'teva tudosi. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, a human, not only a Jew, a human being is born b'teva tudosi, from the nature of his birth, that the mind could control the heart.
Say it again.
Every person, Jew, Goy, whatever, it doesn't matter, is born with the ability, natural ability, that the mind can control the heart.
Cannot, can.
Can. Even though you want something, what?
But the Chumash says not like that.
What does the Chumash say?
From the Nahara, you are bad and you are not good when you are born. I mean, the Nahara Tefah.
Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Menorav. No, what does that mean? That the Yetzer Hara is bad. But that doesn't mean the moach cannot control the yetzer hara.
But if it's not affect the mind, it affects the heart.
The mind has to control the heart.
But if it's not attack the mind,
yetzer hara is the heart. And the yetzer tov is the head. It's a very simple question. Does Hashem demand from a Jew to keep 613 mitzvahs? Yes? Does that mean that a Jew could keep 613 mitzvahs?
No.
Or it's impossible?
Impossible.
Yes, he could.
Huh?
Impossible. It's because he is.
Oh, no. Okay. You got me. Not talking about the mitzvahs that every Jew can keep.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. 200. That, yeah, okay. For every single Jew. Yeah? Can every Jew keep that mitzvah?
Yes.
If not, Hashem can't give it to you.
Yeah.
Hashem can't give you a mitzvah you can't keep.
Sort of work, but you can do it.
Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba Betrunya Im B'riyesav, meaning God does not demand from a person more than the person could do. Now, if Hashem tells a Jew, you forget the credit, you can keep 613 mitzvahs. Yeah? Does that mean that every Jew at every time can keep 613? Yes. Now, how is that possible? There's only one way that's possible. In other words, like Dr. Rebbe said, a Beinoni in Tanya, right? And never sins. He has a Yetzer Hara, but never sins. Not in thought, not in speech, not in action. Right? A Beinoni is the action-perfect Jew.
Not in thought? Ever in thought?
Even in thought doesn't sin.
I thought in thought you can't.
No. You can't control the thought. As soon as an evil thought comes in, you throw it out.
But yes, but desire to.
But if he willingly thinks an evil thought, the Gemara says you're a Rasha. That's what the Gemara says.
But when he has the desire to sin,
he doesn't accept it, and he throws it out right away.
But
right.
Okay.
Now, that means that every person has the ability
to control
thought, speech, and action. Now, how is that possible? Very simple. There's only one way the Alter Rebbe says it's possible. Ki ameyach shalet al halev b'teva tudasi. Because the mind has the ability to. We don't because we don't want to. But the Jew has, every Jew has the ability, every human, not only a Jew, every human, not animals. Humans have the ability for the mind to control the heart. The symbol of animals is a dog. Ya kelev. Says in Chazal, say, why is it called kelev? Because kelev is kulo lev. It's all heart. Animals that walk on four, so the head and the rest of the body are on the same level. only a person, and the monkeys we came from are higher than the rest of the body. Yeah. No, it says a kreif, a monkey, is a mamutza between balchai and medaber, because a monkey has many similarities to people. Whatever, but so it's a mamutza. It's intermediary between a human and an animal, but people are created in a way that the head, that's b'kitzelem elokim, right? We're created with the head above the rest of the body. The head above the heart. Why? Because the head can control the heart.
What about love?
Huh?
Love. Love is coming from man. You just have to think.
You have
if
to.
You have to
even love has to come from the mind, how the love should be.
Okay, but it's not. But it cannot come from a man. You cannot decide, I'm going to love this one.
If I love something, that doesn't mean I could do something wrong, because I love it.
No, but the feeling of love is not coming from man.
It has to be controlled by the mind.
Control.
Yep.
But a lot of times your mind is crazy, or you know that you can...
Because you're not letting the mind control, then the heart controls. That's the difference between an animal and a person. An animal runs by instinct, by lev, and a person is supposed to run up in meich. A person that lets the lev control the meich is a behemoth.
What is it called, the lavcham? I forgot.
What?
Why do you say Shema, but call
the Vavcham? The Yetzer Hara should also love Hashem.
But you don't say anywhere
they call Moavcham. Yeah. First Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What's that? Before the Vavcham says Shem Elokeinu, b'chol levavcha. How do you get to your Vavcham? Meditation to Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Moach creates your Vavcham. That's the whole union of the seichel. Now, behemoths, because they don't have seichel, their midot are much stronger than a person's midos. Huh?
That's why the dogs are.
That's why dogs are more devoted to the master. There's a pasuk, it's getting late. There's a pasuk that Chassidus brings down very often. There's a pasuk that says, Rav tvois b'koach shor. You want to get a lot of tavua grown in it. They didn't have machines in those days, right? It's because short, but the power of an ox. The ox is stronger than a person. So if you don't plow your field, who do you use? You use an ox. Yeah? So Chassidus says, I need a pasuk to tell me that. Without the pasuk, I wouldn't know that. What's Torah telling me? Rav tavua is because short. It's not going to tell me physics class. That a shor is stronger than a person. And we all know, if there's a fight between a shor and a person, the shor usually wins. Unless you're shimshin. So what's the pasuk telling me? So Chassidus explains, this is what it means. Rav tvoz bekerach shor means that normally a person, yetzer tov and yetzer hara, yeah? Yetzer tov, nefesh elokis is called Adam. And nefesh habahamis, yetzer hara is called the behemah, right? A person's midas are not as strong as an animal. Why? Because seichel automatically calms down, cools down midas. Seichel, you know when somebody gets very excited, what do you say in English? Cool it. Cool it. What does cool it mean? How do you put ice cubes on it? Cool it means tell your seichel to calm it down. Seichel calms down midas. If I love somebody, but then I understand in seichel that I come first, so the seichel calms down the midah. Behemoths, because they have no seichel, their midas are very powerful. The midas, the dedication of an animal, like we said, a dog, yeah, is stronger than that of a person. Why? Dafka, because a person has seichel, the midas are weaker. Because seichel and midas contradict each other. Right? Rav Tvoz Bekerach Shor, Chassidus explains like this. When you take the Nefesh HaBahamis, that it should also be V'yohavta, B'chol Levavcha, not B'chol Libcha, B'shnei Yitzarecha, that even the Nefesh HaBahamis also loves Hashem. The Pasuk says, that Ahava is much stronger than the Ahava of Hashem that the Nefesh HaLekis has by itself. The nefesh elikis, which is Adam, is primarily the concept of seichel. So midas are not that strong. Meaning, the love of, not what it loves, the midah of love of the godly soul is not as strong as the ahava of the animal soul. Because Adam has less midah, weaker midah than a behemah. Not what it loves, just the midah itself. So when you make the nefesh habamis love alokus, that's a much stronger ahava than the ahava of the nefesh alokus. And that's what the pasuk says, Rav tvois b'koyach shor. When you transform the shor, the nefesh habamis talukus, it's Rav, you get an abundance of tvoa, an abundance of growth of love to Hashem. Okay. Wow.